in our worship with our music in this unconventional way. And I say amen and praise the Lord to the truth of the words that they just sang. He sees right now what we can't see. He knows there's an end coming to this thing, and he's got it all under control. We'll be talking about that here in just a moment. I started this morning, actually last Sunday, I started a series that I don't know how long I'm going to be in. I'm taking it week by week to see what direction the Lord is going to have us to go week by week, and I'm just letting him lead us each week for the topics that we need for that particular time. Folks, there is a crisis in America. A crisis in America. I spoke to you last week about a worried world out of Matthew chapter 24. Followed it up in the 8th verse. This morning, as I spoke to you about, this is all just part of the process. Now, if you missed any of that, go back. Get caught up. Because there's a tremendous amount of truth that we as believers need to grab hold of in this day. Things are mighty uncertain right now, aren't they?
Amen.
We just don't know what's going to happen. I'm not going to stand here and tell you that we do. We just don't know what's going to happen. But in the middle of an uncertain world, I want us to know tonight there are some things that are certain. There are some things that we can count on. And I want to talk to you about certain things in an uncertain world. We're going to find that wonderful truth revealed to us beginning in Exodus chapter number 3. Exodus chapter number 3, I invite you to find your place there in God's Word. We'll flip around a little bit. We'll start in Exodus 3, and then we'll also go to a couple of other passages as well. I've challenged you to find your place in Exodus 3, and we'll read our text here in just a moment as we consider this truth of some certain things in an uncertain world. Now, if you're at home, I invite you to rise to your feet, those that are in this building, and if you're physically able, rise to your feet as we honor the public reading of God's Word in Exodus chapter 3. I'll begin in verse number 9. Exodus 3 in verse number 9. The Bible here says, "Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me." Come unto who? Unto the Lord. Now, I tell you what, this isn't in my notes, but it just hit me. You know, we've been praying about a whole lot of things. It was evident that the children of Israel were crying to the Lord right here. It was evident that they had some burdens, they had some troubles, they had some fears, they had some uncertainty, and they were crying unto the Lord. And the Bible just tells us right here, "Behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me." Aren't you grateful that the Lord will hear our cry? And this is why we want to keep on crying out to Him. There's going to come a moment when He's going to hear our cry, and He's going to answer, and He's going to meet the need of our life. He says, "The cry of the children of Israel has come unto me, and I, the Lord," He is saying, "have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them." Verse number 10 says, "Come," He's talking to Moses right here, He says, "Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." Moses said unto God, "Who am I? Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt?" Thank you. You may be seated. This passage of Scripture, it is giving to us and it is sharing with us the suffering of the people of God, the Jews, as they were in Egyptian bondage. God's people, folks, they had very little provision. They had very little comfort. They were being tortured. Many were even being murdered. There was very little hope or optimism at all for their future. There was fear among the people. They were in a crisis. But the Lord was not asleep on them. God was not on some other planet somewhere. God knew exactly where His people were in the middle of that crisis. So as I told you this morning, God raised up a mighty leader. He raised up a man by the name of Moses to go and begin the process of the deliverance of the people of God. Moses struggled with this. If you know anything about this story, you know that Moses struggled with this. Moses didn't feel qualified for this. He didn't feel worthy to do this. But then we see the Lord's response to Moses when we come into the 12th verse. Because it is here that God calms the concerns and He calms the troubles of Moses. In verse number 12, He said, "Certainly," the Lord said, "I will be with thee."
Amen.
certainly, underscore that, I will be with thee. I believe I can even hear a few amens even out in some living rooms and in some kitchens today. Certainly, I will be with thee. Look further in verse number 12. And this shall be a token unto thee. I'm going to show you, is what he's saying, that I'm going to be with you, that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve me upon this mountain. God's saying, I'm going to let you come right back here. You're going to be all right. You're going to survive this thing. You're going to make your way through it. When I read these verses, verses 9 through 12, I want desperately to expound deeper upon them because they are so incredibly rich in content. But I'm not going to. I'm going to use this as a jumping off point for our first thought and then moving on through to other passages just as a jumping off point right now to get to a broader thought that I believe is going to help us tonight. Moses and the people of God, they were faced with significant uncertainty in their world. But I love the way in verse 12, God said, certainly. Though you may feel uncertain, I'm saying certainly. The Lord is saying, even though your world is shaken, even though your world is uncertain, even though your world is in a crisis, I'm saying certainly. Some certain things in an uncertain world. Now, when I think about what we're facing in our day today, crisis in America, the corona crisis that we are faced with in America right now, I can't help but think about how that Americans are feeling so uncertain about the things that are going on all around us. We can see it everywhere we look. Goodness gracious, we can all feel it as well, can't we? Americans, we feel this level, and the entire world really feels this level of uncertainty right now because our once bustling streets in so many places, they have become silent. We feel uncertainty because what was our great economy has now slowed to nearly a stop, and it's about to stop just about in its entirety. There's uncertainty because people are losing their jobs. There's uncertainty because people are losing their retirement. There's uncertainty among moms and dads because there is a great level of fear that their little babies are going to get this virus that is out there. Folks, there is spiritual uncertainty right now. And you listen closely. There is spiritual uncertainty because the churches are not able to meet the way that they once were. There are many that would just do anything they could to crawl to the house of God tonight. The place that we took for granted for so long. And even if you had to crawl, you could not crawl to get into the house of God in the normal way that you used to be able to do it. The place that had become so precious and so sweet to us for all these years. This place where God has met with us time and time again. He has shaken our hearts. He saved countless sinners in this place. Reclaimed those that are backslidden. We can't get all together like we normally would. There's spiritual uncertainty. Everywhere we look, there is uncertainty. And the more we look at it, and the longer we look at it, the more overwhelmed we become by it, isn't it? But aren't you thankful that in the middle of all of this uncertainty that is out there, there are still some things that are absolutely certain in the life of the believer? Now, I want to encourage us tonight, whether you're at your home, wherever you're at, those of you that are here, take all of these uncertain things that are on your heart and in your life right now and set them aside for just a few minutes. Set them aside for just a few minutes and let's put all of our attention on the certainties that God has given to His children. Now, there's three particular certain things that I want to lay on your heart tonight. Isn't it true? We could name so many things that are certain, Brother Joel, from God's Word that the child of God can rely on. We can't get to all those, but there's three particular ones from various passages of Scriptures in the middle of this crisis that we're in. Some certain things in an uncertain world. Now think first of all with me. Something that is certain, there is the proven controller in the middle of this. There is the proven controller. Now stay in Exodus chapter 3 if you would. And look, beginning back in verse number 12 again, it says, and the Lord said, certainly I will be with you, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. And he goes on to say, when thou hast brought forth the people of Israel, when thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. You know ultimately what God is telling Moses right here? God is telling Moses, listen, I know what's going on. Amen. He's saying, look, I've already got a plan that is out there. I know exactly what I'm going to do. God was not telling Moses to go and do this without God having any idea what was going on. God didn't say, Moses, I want you to go get my people, and I want you to get them out of Egypt. I want you to get them out of bondage, but I have absolutely no clue how it's going to happen. I want you to figure this out on your own way. He wasn't going and saying, I'm just going to figure this out step by step by step. That wasn't what he was doing at all. Friends, God already had a plan. He was in full control of what the people of God were facing in that day. And though Moses didn't realize it, God had their crisis well under control. God was in full control and full command of it. As the ladies just sang, he could see what they couldn't see. He could see that one day they were going to need to cross the Red Sea, but he already had a plan for that. He could see that one day they're going to need some water out in the desert, but he already had a plan for that. He could see that they were going to need manna, but he already had a plan to rain that manna down from heaven. He could see that he was going to need to defend them from their enemy, and he could see that he had a plan for that, and that he already had a plan that he was going to arrive them safely in their brand new homeland. He already had a plan for every one of those things. Now, we're able to look back into the record of Scripture through the books of Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. We're able to look back through the record of Scripture now, and we're able to see how God took care of every detail. We can look back with absolute amazement and see what God had did, how God showed up in what seemed to be the impossible. And though Moses couldn't do that at that time, God has proven us from His Word that He was in complete control of that. Aren't you thankful that we have a God that already has a plan? No matter what we're faced with, no matter what tomorrow may hold, we have a God that already has a plan. Now, I want you to be very close, because I want us to address this right now. We need to understand that God did not create this crisis, but God is in control of this crisis. God did not arrange this crisis, but He is allowing this crisis. He did not organize this crisis, but He is absolutely overseeing this crisis. Don't you ever let anybody tell you that God is the one to blame for this crisis that we are in right now. No. The blame for this crisis goes all the way back to the days of Adam and Eve in the garden. God created a perfect world, and it was man, just like you and I, that messed this perfect world up. God did not create this crisis. He is in control of it, but it is you and I that are the ones that have messed this up. It is the sinful heart of man that has caused this crisis that we are in. Now, though God did not create this crisis, and though He is in control of it, and no matter how bad it gets, how long that it may last, I still personally believe that He has the controlling ability over it. If God's people, as I said this morning, will simply repent of our sin, pray, turn from our wicked way, I believe with all of my heart that God will reverse this crisis. I believe that He will turn off this virus. I believe He will stop it in its tracks. I believe He will touch the bodies of those who have been inflicted by it if He wills in that. Our great God is able to step into the middle of this crisis where we are at right now. If God's people will just simply get a hold of this. You see, friends, He already has a plan for how He's going to fund our retirement, the retirements that have been lost and badly damaged. He already got a plan for that. God's already got a plan for how He's going to protect our children. And even if any of us were to contract this virus, and even if any of us were to go into heaven by it, that'd be all right. God's already got a plan for that. He already knows how He's going to deal with those things. He already knows how He's going to sustain and rebuild the church of God. Churches all over America, just like this one, who are having to meet and go through different times in this life and in our ministries right now. He already knows how He's going to rebuild it. He already knows who's going to be faithful on the other side of this thing, to be faithful to God and plow on through this thing for God's glory. He already has a plan for all of these things. Just as Moses wrote a few books, you think about this. Just as Moses wrote a few books, Moses was able to look back and he could see how God made a way for him, and he put it into print and he put it into writing. Don't you ever forget, ain't going to come a day when there's going to be some people writing some books about this time that we're in right now. It may be in the record of our very own minds. Keep that in mind. It may be in the record of our very own minds, but there's going to come a day when we're going to look back at the days in this crisis and we're going to see detail for detail how our great God stepped in the middle of it, and God showed up and He met the need need, and he proved that he was in control of this time, this thing for the entire time. I'm just telling you now, cheer up, believer. Cheer up, child of God. It's true that certainly the county commissioners have declared a state of emergency. The governors have declared a state of emergency. The president has declared a state of emergency. But I want you to know this week I've been on my knees with heaven, and heaven has assured me they have not declared a state of emergency, and they will not do it. God is still in control of this thing. He's the proven controller. When we get shaken by all this stuff that is going on in our world today, you just look back at the times that God has delivered you from where you were. God has met your need. God saved your family. He's put them all back together. God saved your family. Amen. Called you to preach. Pulled you out of a life of sin. Redeemed you. The blood of Christ has changed everything. Who are we? How fake are we really to sit around and say, God's not going to meet our need in the middle of it? He is in control of everything. The proven controller. But think with me also, not only the proven controller that there is, but there is also the performing Christian in the middle of this crisis. The performing Christian. Now, what I mean by that is that we understand, as we just said, heaven is not in crisis. They have not declared a crisis. Everything's fine. The Lord is upon His throne. He's sitting there just as He was 3 months ago. He has everything under control. He's not biting His nails. He's not wiping His brow, trying to figure out what's going on. But what we got to understand is He has not yet taken us out of this world. He has not raptured His church out of here yet. And as I talked this morning, I want to expound further upon right now. That means we've got some responsibility.
Amen.
That means the child of God has got some work that we have got to do. You see, there is the performance of the Christian, the performing Christian in all of this. What I'm simply telling you is because we know that God is in control of this, and I tell you, there's a peace in my heart about that. I can't explain everything that's going on. There's a peace in my heart, and I'm understanding that peace a little bit that passes all understanding. But since we know that God's in control of this thing, that means it is now time for the child of God to shine for Him like we have never done so before. Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 16 says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father," what? "Which is in heaven." He's there. He's in control of this thing. And we have a responsibility to shine for the glory of God in the middle of a world that it seems so hard right now. It seems so hard to shine for Him. Folks, the child of God can still shine. Amen. Even when it seems like the regular sun of this world is not shining. Amen. It's in times like this that we are faced with that we prove to be who we've said we always have been. The child of God is put to the test at this moment. Are we going to pass the test? If there has ever been a time that the child of God needed to shine with the brightness and the brilliance of the goodness and grace of God, it is absolutely right now. Furthermore, there has never been a time within our lifetimes when it has been more of a pressing need or more of an opportune time for us to shine than it is right now. People all around us in this world, they are scared. People out there are searching. People are sorrowful on all sides of this. Rumors are swelling about the end of the world. And the fact of the matter is, there is reality, as we talked about this morning, that we are in the beginning of sorrows, that the Lord is wrapping this whole thing up. And people who are in this crisis can sense this crisis. And they may be open to talk about spiritual things in a way that they have never been open to talk about those spiritual things before. And therefore, the child of God has this responsibility. The child of God must shine as we have never done so before. What if God has placed us here, right now in the middle of this crisis, that we may have one final and one fleeting harvest of souls before the trumpet sounds, before we're raptured out of here? It's not time for the people of God to go to the caves. It's not time for us to go crawl up under the rocks. It's time for us to use the only tools that we can. And in some cases, that's social media right now. And get it out there and shout it aloud from the housetops that there is a saving and a redeeming God that will give hope to you even in the middle of an uncertain world. I hope that you've turned to Matthew chapter 5. I want you to look at the 5th verse again with me. Excuse me, the 16th verse, because there are some things about this shining light that the child of God is to have that we need to learn as the believer. When we look at this verse in Matthew 5 and verse number 16, think first of all with me about how that there is a godly living that we must have. A godly living, the Bible declares to us here, let your light so shine before men. Look at this, that they may see your good works. That they may see your good works. Now is the time for the child of God to show this hurting, this hopeless, this horrified, and this hell-bound world that we believe every word of the Holy Scriptures, and we are living it out day by day, even in the middle of this crisis. We are to abide by the rules that have been set before us, and then we are to take it and show them that we believe this word of God, and we are going to proclaim it to this world. Now is not the time to be posting a bunch of junk on Facebook that has no spiritual benefit whatsoever. Now is not the time to be out rambling around this world and living like hell itself. Now is not the time to go out and just live like the world and like there's no difference between you and them. It's time for this world to see that we are real. Amen. We're unshaken in this crisis because we know we got a controller out there. It's time for us to tell this world that God is real. Amen. I'd have a godly living right now. But living a godly life, there'll be a glorified Lord as well with it. We see it again in the verse number 16, a glorified Lord. And he goes on to say right here, and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Amen. Yeah, we're going to lift up the Lord when we shine our light for Him. Even in the middle of a crisis, we're going to lift up the Lord. We're going to honor God when we do that. And we have it upon the authority of Scripture that if we'll just lift Him up, if we'll just glorify Him, He'll draw people to Him. We'll see that harvest of souls in these final hours of these sorrowful days that we are in. If we really want to glorify God, then we have got to shine for Him as we have never shown for Him in any way before. We ought to shine our light in such a blinding bright way to this world that they know from a distance we are a child of God. It'll glorify the Lord. There's also a given law that he tells us in this verse. And what I mean by this is God gave us no choice but to shine the light of God at all times, but especially in a time of a crisis. The child of God can still shine because we know that He's got everything under control. God never gave you a choice. Have you ever considered that when we are not a witness for the Lord, we are out of the will of God? Amen. We are not right with God. He never gave us a choice. He says right here in the verse, let your light so shine before men. He did not say when you feel good. Let your light shine before this dark world. He didn't say that when you feel energized, when you're on the mountain of life, let your light so shine to this dark world. No, no. He said, I gave you a light. Now shine it. Amen. Go out and shine it. Go out and tell this world that I'll still save them and I love them and I'll bring them through this crisis. You see, a true Christian cannot help but shine their light of God. And those that never give any evidence of shining their light of God are quite possibly those who have never been saved themselves. Friends, no matter how shy that you may be, no matter how shallow of confidence with intelligence of the Bible that you may think you have, no matter how scared you may be, we must shine our light for Christ. When we look at this world all around us right now that is in a crisis, I mean, it is in a crisis. There is the dark clouds of crisis on every side of us. But the one silver lining in the middle of all those crises ought to be a Christian that is bursting forth with the bright and shining light of God. Certain things in this world, This world that is so uncertain, there's a proven controller. He's got it all under control. But then there is the professing or the performing Christian. We've got to step up to the plate. We've got to hit a homer. We've got to knock it out of the park right now. But I'll tell you something that God really helped me with Friday afternoon in my study, Friday morning and Friday afternoon. As I was working and making preparation for this, all of the things that we could talk about this matter of some certain things that the child of God has in the middle of an uncertain world, we see truly that one of those things is the fact that we've got that proven control. He got all in control. We see that there has to be the performing Christian, but then there also, friends, is a precious comfort that He gives us. There is a certain thing. I want you to turn with me over to this. 1 Peter chapter number 2. 1 Peter chapter number 2, because it is right here that the Lord gives us something so precious. So precious. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 7 says, "Unto you therefore which believe, He is precious." Unto you therefore which believe, He is precious. Only the child of God can understand that in this hour of crisis that we are in. Only the child of God. The word precious that is used here, it means literally valuable, especially of the highest degree. In other words, Jesus is the diamond gem of all diamond gems. In the middle of the crisis of our lives, Jesus is the Fort Knox of the nation.
Amen.
Jesus is the crown jewels of the British monarchy. Jesus is everything. You want to talk about some certain things in an uncertain world? Don't ever forget that Jesus is precious.
Amen.
Jesus is precious. The most certain thing that a believer has is that there is a precious and a loving God that will never leave us or forsake us. In the middle of these crises of our lives, He's right here with us. Everything in our world, it seems so quickly and dramatically, has changed and is changing. And it's done it just in a few days. Many can no longer go to work. We can't be in gatherings more than 10 people, and even then, we're supposed to keep 6 foot distance in between all of us. We can't go out and do the normal things that we would usually do. Other than essentials, we're not to be out really at all. We're encouraged not to be. Hey, the state of California and many other states, but the state of California has had a mandatory quarantine go into place for 40 million citizens. The fact is, ladies and gentlemen, we just don't know how long this thing's going to last. We don't know how bad this thing is really going to get. This is an unprecedented crisis. We can't look back at some manual that we have in our history book somewhere to say, this is what we did. No. It is unprecedented. We've never been down this path before. There very well could come the time when we're all alone in our homes. There very well could come the time when we are all alone and we are feeling discouraged. We are feeling depressed. We are feeling disconnected from everybody we know and love, this entire world. But you listen, Jesus will still be precious. There may come a time, and it may have already for some, when we don't know how we're going to pay our mounting bills with our limited income. But don't forget, Jesus will still be precious. I can't help but think about our dear Amy. Friday morning, had to go to the hospital, have surgery. Huge hospital, nearly on lockdown, Vanderbilt. Husband couldn't go with her. This morning, had to go to the hospital again. Randy had to sit in the truck. I told her this verse Friday morning. I said, Jesus is precious. I think about this family, I won't call their name, that we've been praying for up in Indiana. A pastor who was preaching from his hospital bed as he suffers through this coronavirus. His wife as well has it, and a few floors below him. Kidneys were shutting down. Unless God stepped in, she was going to heaven. Her husband wanted so badly to get to her. He said, she's been a faithful wife for all these years. And when in her greatest moment of need right now that she has, I can't be there to hold her hand. But Jesus is still precious. Folks, I honestly don't know what I would have done through these years had I not had a precious Lord to help me through the crisis times of my life. Are you thinking about those crisis times in your life? I remember when Mom was going through her final battle of life with cancer. It was evident that unless the miraculous hand of God stepped in, she was going to go on home. I remember going through that period. Everybody deals with those moments of grief differently. And I don't know that I've ever shared this. And I'm not just sharing it with our church family. I'm sharing it with the whole world. You're going to do it big, right? Go big, go home. Everybody handles things differently. But I remember for me, I was getting ready one morning. And I became so overwhelmed with grief. I was in my bedroom at my house over on Mitchell Acres. I became so overwhelmed with burden and grief that I literally fell to my knees and then to my face. Uncontrollable emotion. I don't know how long, but I would say I laid there for probably near an hour, just trying my best to get a grip. I was all alone in the house at the time. There wasn't nobody there to help me. Nobody there to comfort me. It was just me. I will not forget that moment that it seemed the sweet presence of God walked in that back bedroom. You say that's crazy. You think what you want, but there was something that happened that day. The Spirit of God walked into that bedroom. It just seemed like He dried my tears. He picked me up off the ground. He said, son, it's going to be okay. It was that day the grace of God in the death of Mom stepped in. I've missed her. But I've not struggled that bad with it anymore because He was so precious to me. And I remember how precious He was. And it's still with me even today. After months of struggling with God's call on my life to preach, I struggled with it. I remember that night in London, Kentucky. It was a brutally difficult period in our work. And I remember that night in London, Kentucky, we closed up that job. I gave my guys money. I said, go cross the street, get something to eat. I went and I locked myself in my hotel room at that Comfort Inn or whatever it was. And I got on that dirty, filthy hotel floor. And I didn't move until I had heard from heaven. I took all of my fear, all of my anxiety, all of my inabilities that I was using as crutches, as excuses, And I laid them out that day before God. And I said, Lord, I'll give you all of this. And it was that night that I surrendered in my heart to preach God's word. Gave my life over to Him. And I have not regretted or second-guessed that decision one time. Now look at what God's done. And the ride of my life He has put me on. I remember that night. He was so precious to me. There have been so many times that Melissa and I, and I know every one of you can identify with this, we have felt so low in some struggling moments when it seemed that things just weren't supposed to be the way they were. It seemed that this or that had abandoned you, and it seemed people just don't understand. I can't tell you the amount of times in our bedroom or in our living room that we just kneel to pray, say, God, help us with this. God, help us with the struggle right now. The struggle that nobody else understands, you have them too. I'm not alone with that. And you know, Brother Daniel, you've been there. Time after time, He has proven to be so precious to us. He will be our friend. He will be our comfort. He will be that abiding presence when we are in the lowest and most difficult crisis of our lives. Coming into this whole situation, I didn't know how our worship services were going to work. I don't like this. I want God's people to be together, but I know God's got a reason for this. And I am going to embrace it. And I'm not going to sit around and rebel against it. I'm not going to sit around and cry about it. I'm going to find what God's got in it. Amen. By God's grace, we're going to press on as a mighty army. Amen. But I was wondering how all this was going to work. I don't know about any of you that were here Wednesday night or any of you that were listening out there, but I tell you what, we walked in here Wednesday night. He proved Himself one more time to be so precious. Right in the middle of the crisis that we were in. We came in here this morning trying to do our best to have everything set up, to have church, best way we know how. You know what He did? He proved Himself to be precious one more time. Is He precious to you today? Can you sense His presence even in the middle of the crisis? Do you even understand what I'm talking about? He will be precious to you. If you'll just let Him be. He's the proven controller. There is the performing Christian. And there is the precious comfort. Don't you ever forget, these are some certain things in the middle of an uncertain world. I asked Joel to sing "The Anchor Holds." I want you to think about it. Go ahead, brother. I want you to think about this. Folks, He loves you. Amen. And He will bring you through this crisis, and you don't have to worry about it one little bit. He will put His hand upon you. I would encourage you where you're at your home right now. You just worship Him. You just make much of Jesus. Maybe you just want to fall down to your knees. Maybe you just want to say thank you, Lord, for holding.
I have journeyed.
He will be there. He's precious.
Through the long dark night.
You worship the Lord in this time.
me. The anchor holds, though the ship is battered. The anchor holds, though the sails are torn. I have fallen. I face the raging seas, but the anchor holds in spite of the storm. I've had visions, and I've had I've even held them in my hand, but I never knew those dreams could slip right through like they were only grains. Anchor holds, though my ship is battered. The anchor holds, though my sails are torn. I have fallen. I face the raging seas, and the anchor holds in spite of the storm. I have been young, but I'm older now. Eyes have seen, but it was in the night, through the storms of our lives, that's where God proved His love to me. And the anchor holds, though our ship's been battered. The anchor holds, though our sails are torn. We have fallen. The raging seas, and the anchor holds in spite of the storm. I have fallen on my knees as I face the raging seas, and the anchor holds in spite of the storm.
If there is that uncertainty in your life, I want you to know that He loves you. He'll save you and He will change your life. If you've never had that moment where you've stopped and you've had that experience where you said, Lord, I'm a guilty, filthy, wretched, rotten sinner, and I deserve judgment, and you've accepted Him as your personal Savior and pled the blood of Christ, I want you to know He will save you. You will find a precious Savior that you never even really knew existed in the middle of the crisis of life. We want to help you. We want to be a blessing to you. He said that if we'll just call upon Him, He will save us. He said, Peter told us that today is the day of salvation. He said it is the will of God that all should be saved, Peter said. He will change your life. We're in a time of crisis right now. It's not time to just say, I'll wait for another day. You reach out to this church, and we want to make sure we point you to the cross. I thank you for being with us this morning and tonight. Be back Wednesday night at 7 o'clock, unless the guidelines change. We will meet here again at 7 o'clock. We're going to meet on property and pray. We're ask the Lord to meet and move with us, not only for the Lord's Day next week, but also for the condition of our nation, the crisis of our world. And you be sure and be here Wednesday night, either online or here, either way, and join us in prayer. Again, I just reiterate, we aren't going to break any rules. We will stay separate. We're going to send some, bring, maybe some of you fellows want to wear your old hiking boots, go back into these this woods back here that we've got, that we've recently had given to us. And we're going to give it to God Wednesday night. Bring your old work clothes if you need to. Bring you a chair. Sit out in the property, but we're going to pray. And if you're not comfortable with that and you don't feel well, then don't come. But unless that changes, and if it's raining, we won't do that. But we will have something going on in here, okay? God bless you all. We love you. You know how to contact us if we can help you with anything. We got to pray for one another during this time. We're not seeing each other three times a week. We're going to get through this because there are some certain things. Amen. He's in control of all of this stuff that we're in. He'll comfort us. Go out and shine, child of God, in this world right now. God bless you. Good night.